The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Is there a place for you, my dear friend, in the kingdom of God, or shall you be forever an outcast of all the riches of Jesus Christ? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Our Father in heaven, we pray now for thy divine illumination on this declaration of thy sacred truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I spoke to you about God's instructions to Israel to eat unleavened bread on the day of her spiritual birth, which indicated that God was calling the nation of Israel to holiness of heart and life. Now today we're moving towards the scripture that tells us that when Israel went out of Egypt, they did not go just by themselves, but there was a mixed multitude that went out with them. But before I get to the text, I want to answer some questions which by now you may have in the back of your mind. One of the questions is, why did God come down so strongly on the Egyptian people when, as it appears, the culprit, the source of trouble, was really Pharaoh? It was Pharaoh's stubbornness, after all, that was the cause of this great delay of Israel getting out of Egypt. For example, on the night of the Passover, an angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, and every firstborn of every Egyptian family was killed that night. And every firstborn of every cattle was killed that night. This was the last plague that God did in Egypt. Oh, what a weeping and wailing and agonizing that night of death in the whole land of Egypt. The question you have maybe is, why did God not just deal with Pharaoh and punish him, who was the main obstacle, and why didn't he just leave the people of Egypt alone? First of all, I want you to know that, of course, it is quite common whenever a wicked leader is an authority, the people suffer greatly. As this was true in the days of this Pharaoh, it was also true, for example, in the last century, under the reign of Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union, probably one of the most murderous or wicked leaders of all times. It was also under Adolf Hitler that wickedness exploded with the killing of thousands, millions, and millions of people in Central Europe, and with the destruction of 6 million Jews. So the question is, why does God allow wicked leaders to ascend to the position of authority to bring suffering on entire nations? Well, my friend, the answer is that it is not God who is allowing the wicked men to come to a position of leadership, but it is God's people. First of all, God's people who do that. I want to take you to the writing of the Apostle Paul, to his first letter to Timothy, and I shall read to you from the second chapter, verse 1 and 2. Here Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So God did not want a Pharaoh. God did not want a Joseph Stalin. God did not want an Adolf Hitler. No, the answer why these men came to power is because God's people, church people, had not prayed and had not interceded that men of righteousness, God-fearing men, would come to the position of authority. Our text tells us here that God wants us to pray that there will be no wicked authorities so that we can live in peace. Joseph Stalin would never have come to power in Russia had the Russian Orthodox Church been a church of prayer more than a church of rituals. Adolf Hitler would never have come to power in Germany if the German Christians would have been a praying people. My friend, if we don't pray for kings and for all who are in authority, as God tells us to do, then you will have Pharaohs, you will have Stalins, you will have Hitlers, and the world has absolutely no power to prevent or to alleviate these catastrophes. The world has no power with God. Only God's people do, and they only have power with God when they pray. So evil will triumph, and injustice will fill our courthouses, and wickedness will fill our prisons, when the people who are called by God's name will not humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked ways. Most churches have no regular prayer meetings, and if they do have one, they are poorly attended, my friend, and so evil gets to reign over nations. God wants us to pray that there will be no wicked authorities so that we can live in peace. The world has no power with God. Only God's people do, and they only have power with God when they pray. Now, secondly, lest you as a non-Christian think that you are without guilt when wicked leaders come to power and exercise their wicked rule over their subjects, I want to tell you that you also are at fault when wickedness or judgment comes upon nations. For it says in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that is the earth, showeth his handiwork. Now, what does that mean? It means that God has shown his glory, his majesty, his wisdom, his character in the heavens, in the sun, in the stars, in the moon, in the sunrises and sunsets, in the beauty of the sky. He has shown his glory and beauty and strength and love and mercy and compassion and wisdom through the extravagance of his creation all over the earth, so that man who does not fall down and worship God, who has made himself so clearly known in his creation, surely deserves his judgment. Because the image of God is stamped upon everything he has created. Now let's go to Egypt. These Egyptians were bowing down and worshiping a golden calf, an idol that could not hear, that could not speak, that had no heart to feel, rather than them worshiping God who made the universe and the God who created them, that they might come to be in his own likeness, in his own image. And then the Apostle Paul also deals with this issue as his first issue in his only book of systematic theology, the book of Romans. He exclaims there, the wrath of God, that is the judgment of God, is revealed from heaven towards all ungodly people. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Footnote, this means that God had every reason to be angry and to judge the Egyptian people, even as he judged Pharaoh, for their idolatry, for their ungodliness, for their unrighteousness, who ignored the evidence of God, the creator of the universe, that was placed all about them, and who worshipped a golden calf. Now, in the next verse, verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God, and you can put the Egyptians in here, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. Let me read this to you from another translation, the Amplified Bible. It says, for that which is known about God is evident to them. That means it was evident to the Egyptians, it was evident to the Russians in the reign of Stalin, it was evident to the Germans in the reign of Hitler. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. This leads me to say that no one is born an atheist. All men are born with an innate knowledge of God, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is also confirmed by the teaching of John the Apostle when he said of Jesus, this is the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Which is to say that since the beginning of time, beginning with Adam, all the way through to this very day, every person born into the world receives the light of the knowledge of God, receives a conscience by which he knows God and by which he knows right and wrong. God judged the Egyptians because they worshipped the wrong God, and they knew better. Because it says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him that is of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, and you can put the Egyptians and Germans and Russians in here and the rest of mankind, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And this is the reason why the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who twist the truth, worshipping the creature rather than the creator. So the Egyptians had no excuse for worshiping a golden calf, and so God's wrath was also revealed against them, and not only against Pharaoh. The Canaanites had no excuse to worship Baal, nor the Jebusites, nor the Amalekites, etc. My friend, the source of all wickedness and suffering is not God. It is man himself, believing man who does not pray, an unbelieving man who is turning to idols rather than glorifying the one who created him. Now my time is just about gone. I've never touched a text on this mixed multitude that left Egypt with the Egyptians, so let me quickly read the text here from Exodus 12. It says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. And a mixed multitude went also up with them." Well, my friend, as my introduction for next week, the mixed multitude consisted of thousands upon thousands of people, Egyptian people, who when they saw the wrath of God on their lives and the goodness of God on the lives of the children of Israel, decided it was time to change gods. It's time to give up the old religion that has done no good for them, that had done no good for their parents or their grandparents or their great-grandparents. It was time for them, my friend, to change religions, to go with this God who cared for his people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When these Egyptians saw that Israel's God did deliver and their gods did not deliver, they knew it was time for a change. And so they decided to forsake their homes and their lands and their relatives and go with the Jews. And so we'll continue on this great good news, my friend, and we'll answer the question, quote, "Did God allow this mixed multitude to become equal citizens in his kingdom of covenant people, or did he treat them as outsiders or second-class citizens of the Jewish nation?" Then, of course, if the answer is yes, God took them in and made them equals with the Jews, the sons of Abraham, then, my friend, perhaps or surely, he will take any one of us in, no matter what religion we come from, what heritage we have, to make us equal sons and daughters of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, you can see, if you listen carefully, there's a bright light coming our way here through the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Our Father, we come to Thee today in the name of Jesus for this lost and dying world. We pray, oh Lord God, that You will show Yourself afresh in Thy glory and beauty and splendor and majesty and love and care and compassion to all of humankind, to all the dear listeners, we pray, O Lord, who once they were little knew that Thou art the true God and there's only one God, and who have been confused, O Lord, through religious indoctrination by their parents or grandparents, well-meaning, but Lord, who have now gone the course of a long life, or at least a middle many years, O Lord, and have found that the gods they worship are totally inadequate to meet their needs. They've been gods without love, gods without compassion, gods without wisdom, gods without bringing peace, gods without giving the forgiveness of sins. We pray, O Lord, that You will touch every one of these hearts out there and help them to reach out for Thee, the only true God. O Lord, we pray that You will do that by drawing them by Your sacred Holy Spirit to the light of Thy knowledge. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Goodbye now until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.